Happy New Year plus 1 week. I hope you've held tight to all your resolutions. Hello there. It's Sunday, the 8th of January 2006, and it's me, it's Bedtime Story Podcast. The Bill by Bernard Malamud. Though the street was somewhere near a river, it was landlocked and narrow. A crooked row of aged brick tenement buildings. A child throwing a ball straight up saw a bit of pale sky. On the corner, opposite the blackened tenement where Willie Schlegel worked as a janitor, stood another like it, except that this included the only store on the street. Going down 5 stone steps into the basement, a small, dark, delicatessen owned by Mr. and Mrs. F. Panessa. Really a hole in the wall. They had just bought it with the last of their money, Mrs. Panessa told the janitor's wife, so as not to have to depend on either of their daughters, both of whom, Mrs. Schlegel understood, were married to selfish men who had badly affected their characters. To be completely independent of them, Panessa, a retired factory worker, withdrew his 3,000s of savings and bought this little delicatessen store. When Mrs. Schlegel, looking around, though she knew the delicatessen quite well for the many years she and Willie had been janitors across the way, when she asked, "Why did you buy this one?" Mrs. Panessa cheerfully replied, "Because it was a small place, and they would not have to overwork." Panessa was 63. They were not here to coin money, but to support themselves without working too hard. After talking it over many nights and days, they had decided that the store would at least give them a living. She gazed into Etta Schlegel's gaunt eyes, and Etta said she hoped so. She told Willie about the new people across the street who had bought out the Jew, and said to buy there if there was a chance. She meant by that they would continue to shop at the self-service, but when there was some odd or end to pick up, or something they had forgotten to buy, they could go to Panessa's. Willie did as he was told. He was tall and broad-backed, with a heavy face seamed dark from the coal and ashes he shovelled around all winter, and his hair often looked grey from the dust the wind whirled up at him out of the ash cans where he was lining them up for the sanitation truck. Always in overalls, he complained he never stopped working. He would drift across the street and down the steps when something was needed, and, lighting his pipe, would stand around talking to Mrs. Panessa as her husband, a small, bent man with a fitful smile, stood behind the counter waiting for the janitor after a long interval of talk to ask, upon reflection, for a dime's worth of this or that, the whole business never amounting to more than half a dollar. Then, one day, Willie got to talking about how the tenants goaded him all the time, and what the cruel and stingy landlord could think up for him to do in that smelly 5-floor dungeon. He was absorbed by what he was saying, and before he knew it, had run up a $3 order, though all he had on him was 50 cents. Willie looked like a dog that had just had a licking, but Mr. Panessa, after clearing his throat, chirped up it didn't matter. He could pay the rest whenever he wanted. He said that everything was run on credit, business and everything else, because after all, what was credit but the fact that people were human beings? And if you were really a human being, you gave credit to somebody else and he gave credit to you. That surprised Willie, because he had never heard a storekeeper say it before. After a couple of days, he paid the $2.50, but when Panessa said he could trust whenever he felt like it, Willie sucked a flame into his pipe, then began to order all sorts of things. When he brought home two large bagfuls of stuff, Etta shouted he must be crazy. Willie answered he had charged everything and paid no cash. But we have to pay some time, don't we? Etta shouted, and we have to pay higher prices than in the self-service. She said then what she always said. We are poor people, Willie. We can't afford too much. Though Willie saw the justice of her remarks, despite her scolding, he still went across the street and trusted. Once he had a crumpled $10 bill in his pants pocket, and the amount came to less than $4, but he didn't offer to pay and let Panetta write it in the book. Etta knew he had the money, so she screamed when he admitted he had bought it on credit. What are you doing it for? Why don't you pay if you have money? He didn't answer, but after a time he said there were other things he had to buy once in a while. He went into the furnace room and came out with a wrapped package which he opened, and it contained a beaded black dress. Etta cried over the dress and said that she would never wear it because the only time he had ever bought her anything was when he had done something wrong. Thereafter, she let him do all the grocery shopping, and she did not speak when he bought on trust. Willie continued to buy at Panessa's. It seemed they were always waiting for him to come in. They lived in three tiny rooms on the floor above the store. And when Mrs. Panessa saw him out of her window, she ran down to the store. Willie came up from his basement, crossed the street, and went down the steps into the delicatessen, looming large as he opened the door. Every time he bought, it was never less than $2 worth, and sometimes it would go as high as 5. Mrs. Panessa would pack everything into a deep double bag after Panessa had called off each item and written the price with a smeary black pencil into his loose-leaf notebook. Whenever Willie walked in, Panessa would open the book, wet his fingertip, and flipped through a number of blank pages till he found Willie's account in the centre of the book. After the order was packed and tied up, Panessa added the amount, touching each figure with his pencil, hissing to himself as he added, and Mrs. Panessa's bird eyes would follow the figuring until Panessa wrote down a sum, and the new total sum, after Panessa had glanced up at Willie and saw that Willie was looking, was twice underscored. And then Panessa shut the book. Willie, with his loose, unlit pipe in his mouth, did not move until the book was put away under the table. He then roused himself, and embracing the bundle, with which they offered to help him across the street, though he always refused, plunged out of the store. One day, when the sum total came to $83 and some cents, Panessa, lifting his head and smiling, asked Willie when he could pay something on account. The very next day, Willie stopped buying at Panessa's, and after that, Etta, with her cord market bag, began to shop again at the self-service, and neither of them went across the street for as much as a pound of prunes or box of salt they had meant to buy but had forgotten. Etta, when she returned from shopping at the self-service, scraped the wall on her side of the street to get as far away as possible from Panessa's. Later, she asked Willie if he had paid them anything. He said, no. When will you? He said he didn't know. A month went by. Then Etta met Mrs. Panessa around the corner, and though Mrs. Panessa, looking unhappy, said nothing about the bill, Etta came home and reminded Willie. Leave me alone, he said. I got enough trouble of my own. What kind of trouble have you got, Willie? The goddamn tenants and the goddamn landlord, he shouted, and slammed the door. When he returned, he said, what have I got that I can pay? Ain't I been a poor man every day of my life? She was sitting at the table and lowering her arms, and put her head down on them, and wept.
"With what?" he shouted, his face lit up dark and webbed. "With the meat off my bones. With the ashes in my eyes, with the piss I mop up off the floor, with the cold in my lungs when I sleep."
He felt for Panessa and his wife with a grating hatred, and vowed he would never pay because he hated them so much, especially the humpback behind the counter. If he ever smiled at him again with those goddamn eyes, he would lift him off the floor and crack his bent bones. That night, he went out and got drunk, and lay till morning in the gutter. When he returned, with filthy clothes and bloodied eyes, Etta held him up the picture of their 4-year-old son who had died from diphtheria, and Willie, weeping splashy tears, swore he would never touch another drop. Each morning he went out to line up the ash cans. He never looked the full way across the street.
"Give credit," he mimicked. "Give credit."
Hard times set in. The landlord ordered cut down on heat, cut down on hot water. He cut down on Willie's expense money and wages. The tenants were angered. All day they pestered Willie like clusters of flies, and he told them what the landlord had ordered. Then they cursed Willie, and Willie cursed them. They telephoned the Board of Health, but when the inspectors arrived, they saw the temperature was within the legal minimum, though the house was draughty. However, the tenants still complained they were cold, and goaded Willie about it all day. But he said he was cold too. He said he was freezing, but nobody believed him. One day he looked up from lining up 4 ash cans for the truck to remove and saw Mr. and Mrs. Panessa staring at him from the store. They were staring up through the glass front door, and when he looked down, at first his eyes blurred, and they appeared to be 2 scrawny, loose-feathered birds. He went down the block to get a wrench from another janitor, and when he got back, they then reminded him of 2 skinny leafless bushes sprouting up through the wooden floor. He could see through the bushes to the empty shelves. In the spring, when the grass shoots were sticking up from the cracks in the sidewalk, he told Etta, "I'm only waiting till I pay it all."
"How, Willie?"
"We can save up."
"How?"
"How much do we save each month?"
"Nothing."
"How much have you got here away?"
"Nothing anymore."
"I'll pay them bit by bit. I will, by Jesus." The trouble was, there was no place they could get the money. Sometimes, when he was trying to think of the different ways there were to get money, his thoughts ran ahead and he saw what it would be like when he was paid. He would wrap up the wad of bills with a thick rubber band and then go up the stairs and cross the street and go down the 5 steps into the store. He would say to Panessa, "Here it is, little old man, and I bet you didn't think I would do it. And I don't suppose nobody else did, and sometimes me myself, but here it is in bucks, all held together by a fat rubber band." After hefting the wad a little, he placed it, like making a move on a checkerboard, squarely in the center of the counter, and the diminutive man and his wife both unpeeled it, squeaking and squealing over each blackened book, and marvelling that so many ones had been tied together into such a neat small pack. Such was the dream. Really dreamed, but he could never make it come true. He worked hard, too. He got up early and scrubbed the stairs from cellar to roof with soap and a hard brush, then went over that with a wet mop. He cleaned the woodwork, too, and oiled the banister till it shone the whole zigzag way down, and rubbed the mailboxes in the vestibule with metal polish and a soft rag until you could see your face in them.
He saw his own heavy face with a surprising yellow moustache. He had recently grown, and the tan felt cap he wore that a tenant had left behind in a closet full of junk when he had moved. Etta helped him, and they cleaned the whole cellar and the dark courtyard under the crisscrossed clotheslines, and they were quick to respond to any kind of request, even from tenants they didn't like, for sink or toilet repairs. Both worked themselves to exhaustion every day, but, as they knew from the beginning, no extra money came in. One morning, when Willie was shining up the mailboxes, he found in his own a letter for him. Removing his cap, he opened the envelope and held the paper to the light as he read the trembling writing. It was from Mrs. Panessa, who wrote her husband was sick across the street, and she had no money in the house, so could he pay her just $10, and the rest could wait for later. He tore the letter into bits and hid all day in the cellar. That night, Etta, who had been searching for him in the streets, found him beneath the furnace amid the pipes, and she asked him what he was doing there. He explained about the letter. "Hiding won't do you any good at all," she said hopelessly. "What should I do then?" "Go to sleep, I guess." He went to sleep, but the next morning burst out of his covers, pulled on his overalls, and ran out of the house with an overcoat flung over his shoulders. Around the corner he found a pawn shop where he got $10 for the coat and was gleeful. But when he ran back, there was a hearse or something across the street, and two men in black were carrying this small and narrow pine box out of the house. "Who's dead? A child?" he asked one of the tenants. "No, a man named Mr. Panessa." Willie couldn't speak. His throat had turned to bone. After the pine box was squeezed through the vestibule doors, Mrs. Panessa, grieved all over, tottered out alone. Willie turned his head away, although he thought she wouldn't recognize him because of his new moustache and tan cap. "What did he die of?" he whispered to a tenant. "I really couldn't say." But Mrs. Panessa, walking behind the box, had heard. "Old age," she shrilly called back. He tried to say some sweet thing, but his tongue hung in his mouth like dead fruit on a tree, and his heart was a black painted window. Mrs. Panessa moved away to live first with one stone-faced daughter, then with the other. And the bill was never paid.